For any of you who came in after our initial welcome, I just want to restate, I'm Chris Weber. I'm a friend of Pastor Matt Waite's. We went to seminary together, and he asked me to fill in for him. And so whether you want me or not, here I am today. It's a joy to be here with all of you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus shows up after being dead in the midst of his disciples. And he's alive, and they're shocked by this. And I can't really blame them. I mean, they watched Jesus be murdered, and now he's supposed to be live in their midst. They think he's a ghost. They think he's a spirit. But Jesus shows them his hands, invites them even to come and touch him. It is so important that he is physically alive there in their midst. And even invites them, because they still disbelieve because of joy, he has them bring him some food. He starts chewing on a piece of fish. Apparently, he has his digestive system is functioning just fine. This reality for us is so central to us today, so important. It is why we are here. We are here because of the resurrection of Jesus. And his resurrection reshapes everything for us. Pastor Matt last week talked with you all about Psalm 148 and this idea that the resurrection of Jesus is not just about himself, it's not just about us, it's about all of creation praising him, of which we are a part. Today I'm not going to talk about it in that broad of terms, but I want to zero in on another aspect of how the resurrection shapes and continues to reshape our community today, our lives together, in our relationships with one another and with others. Jesus himself seems to be making this point in the second half of our text, that his resurrection is not some isolated event, but it has ramifications for the world. He tells his disciples there in his midst, "Go and proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins to all nations." The resurrection of Jesus means blessing for all of the nations of the world. And this is not something new. The resurrection of Jesus is definitely something that is new, but this desire of God to bless all nations is something we see way back in the days of Abraham. God chose Abraham because he wanted to bless all the nations through Abraham. And now we see God fulfilling that desire in Jesus. But we also see God, just like in the days of Abraham, choosing more people through whom he wants to bring this blessing to the world. Jesus says to his followers that day, "You are witnesses of these things." I want to talk about that word witness for a little while today, not every aspect of it, but just two specific aspects. It seems fairly common, though I'm sure it's not true for everybody, but there's sort of two common aspects to witnessing. One is telling people that Jesus died and rose, and the other sort of common aspect usually involves some call to repentance. And I want to talk about both of those today. Often, I think when we talk about Jesus dying and rising from the dead, we do so in terms of it being a past event, right? He did die and he did rise from the dead. But the reality that he has been raised means that he's still alive today. He is still, we trust, just as alive today as when he was chewing on that piece of fish in front of his disciples. And this is what his followers proclaim throughout Acts, not simply that Jesus did die and rise as a past event, but that he is still living, that he is still alive and doing stuff in the world. It is because he is alive that he can reign as Lord over heaven and earth. This witness has been given to you and to me, and now we are invited to participate in revealing this living Jesus to the world. We too are witnesses. As we trust Jesus is alive, we trust, again, he is doing things in the world. And one of the things we see in this text is that he is working to bring the news of repentance for the forgiveness of sins to all nations. Which brings me to that second aspect of witnessing, repentance. We often don't simply end with, you know, Jesus died and rose, but we try to get somehow to this idea of repentance, of turning towards him. But I find today, again, in the church, and it may not be true for you all, but just there's this common sense at times that repentance means we just need to show people how backwards their thinking is. We need to really make sure they understand how distorted their behaviors are. And so this idea of being a witness for the church at times takes on this sort of harsh, critical, you're all sinners, like this us between them sort of a thing. Now, hear me out on this for just a moment. Repentance generally does involve some level of acknowledgement of sin. But how we go about doing that as witnesses is really important. Jesus tells his disciples to go and proclaim repentance for the forgiveness of sins to all nations. Jesus desires reconciliation between the peoples of the earth. He wants forgiveness to go to the Romans who were oppressing his people. He wants his people Israel to go and work on reconciliation with the Samaritans, even though there was an incredible amount of animosity between them. He wants his people to announce forgiveness and work on reconciling with other nations they may have been in conflict with, or other peoples that they may have kept at a distance. God desires his people to bring reconciliation into the world and to embody that reconciliation together. Now, think about this for just a moment with me, because this really reshapes what it means to be part of the community of the followers of Jesus. If we live together reconciled with God, and therefore with one another, right? We live in the blessing of being forgiven. And this message of forgiveness is supposed to go to other people as well. That means that we as a community are supposed to be shaped by the anticipation of welcoming others. We are supposed to be shaped by the anticipation of receiving even people who we might have labeled as enemies, right? We have a new shared foundation with all the people of the world. And that shared foundation is the blessing, right? The desire of God to bless with forgiveness and reconciliation. We share a common bond with the world through the desires of God displayed through the living Jesus and his Holy Spirit. We are to be a community that is shaped by the excitement and anticipation of receiving others. This gives a whole new meaning to what it means to be a witness. To be a witness is not simply just to tell people, oh, you're sinners and you've screwed things up, or to have this sort of harsh, critical us versus them sort of mentality. I think at times that may be more of a way for ourselves to sort of conceal things that we are uncomfortable with about ourselves or about other people. Instead, being a witness is being part of a community of the followers of Jesus. Being a witness is being part of the people of God that seek to embody the reconciliation of this living Jesus. We witness together as a group, right? We want people, when they encounter followers of Jesus, when they encounter us as a group, we want them to encounter a group where they encounter the possibility of being loved, the possibility of being accepted. We want people to see in the community of the church, of what we are a part of today, to see a community where it is safe to struggle, safe to ask questions, a community where it is safe to ask questions about what it means to repent. What does it look like to trust Jesus? We want people to encounter through us a community where it is safe to repent. We are called and invited by the Spirit to be a community that embodies the reconciliation of Jesus. How we behave, how we think together matters with our witness today. This means that we really need to take seriously at times our own patterns of thinking or our own patterns of behavior, and not just as individuals, but as a group. And obviously, I don't know much about you all as a community. I'm more familiar with my own congregation here. But this is something that the church is supposed to work together on. We may need to at times address feelings of apathy, or to encounter within ourselves or as a group the reality that we may have discomfort towards certain individuals or groups. We may at times need to struggle with the reality that we might like a sense of status quo, even if it means oppression or neglect of other people. And we may at times need to address other patterns of avoidance or even trying to, which is so common in our culture today, to strive for safety and security, even if it means closing off our community to other people. You see, no matter what we do, we are witnesses. If we don't address these things, we will continue to be witnesses. It just might not always be to the reconciliation of the living Jesus. This is hard for us, right? It is a struggle as long as we live in this broken world and continue to acknowledge our own brokenness. It is hard because there is much that stands in our way. But Christ understands this struggle and does not desire to leave his people alone in this. This is something I find fascinating about this text, is that by the end of the text, the last thing we hear about the disciples, the followers of Jesus, is that they're still disbelieving. Right? It's because of joy, they're shocked, but they are still struggling with what all this means. And what does Jesus do? He meets them in that place, and he promises them power from on high. We watch in Acts, and the Holy Spirit is given. The people start proclaiming, they start witnessing together, and what else happens? They still struggle. They struggle with the Holy Spirit being given to Gentiles. They struggle with what it means to receive others and to embody reconciliation together. We still struggle today, and I imagine we will still continue to struggle into the future with things like apathy, divisiveness, animosity, and not just from outside of ourselves, but at times very much from within ourselves as well. But Christ promises not to leave us alone in that. He announces forgiveness to all nations, and that means for you and for me as well. And power from on high has been given, meaning that we too share in that Holy Spirit today as well. The Holy Spirit is given to us not simply as individuals, but as a group. We can work on addressing things like apathy and divisiveness or our discomfort with other people alone, but the Spirit is given with the promise that we can do that together as well. That we can seek the support of one another and strive to learn what it means to repent together, of what it means to be a community where we can put forward the possibility of love and acceptance and forgiveness and the blessing of new life to the world. By the Spirit, we can work together to be a community where repentance is seen and where the blessing of life is put forward to the world. We are blessed by God with forgiveness. We are blessed by Christ himself who lives today with the Holy Spirit. And we continually are invited to bear witness to him because he continues to live. Now may the peace that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.